This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 215. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
I was just telling you off air that I want my office done by the start of the season, which is like 2.5 weeks away.
Oh boy.
And it is not anywhere near. I still got to muck the wall, so that's like putting the compound on the drywall, paint, the floor still needs to be put in. And these are all things that I have to do. I don't know if I'm going to. And then I have this feature wall idea that I want to do with all my aisle stuff in the background that I still have to do. And I'm running out of time here, bud.
You're going to be busy the next couple of weeks, it sounds like.
Absolutely. What's going on with you?
I am very excited to be going to Houston for a couple of days this weekend. I'm leaving tomorrow night and seeing a show down in Texas on Saturday. My cousin got married in Texas. That she moved down there like 15 years ago and got married maybe 12 years ago. And I loved it. I fell in love and I was like, I want to go back. And I finally had the opportunity to. I was telling you, I think one of the last times we recorded, I was going to for my college graduation. And then that's when they got hit with the hurricane down there in Houston. And then just work's been crazy. And finally just able to go have some time. So doing that.
Good on you. Get there while you can. Well, I guess it's not going anywhere. But yeah, get in there. Texas, it is fun. I've been to Texas as well. Loved it. It's a good time. Good people. So the food is outstanding. Yep.
Give me some Tex-Mex in my stomach all weekend. I can't wait.
Good stuff. But Matt, are you ready for an out-of-this-world experience?
I hope so.
Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0. Boom. Bringing Manscaped into this. From Manscaped, of course, that has just taken off not only in the USA, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. That's a lot of places. It's not everywhere, but that's a lot. Even then, Europe is quite a few places. Inside this Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0, which is, I love it, absolutely love it. The Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, which I'm kind of jealous I don't have. The one I have is, it's very much discount brand, if you will.
Okay. Yeah, this is, let me tell you, it's a high quality trimmer. I love it.
Beautiful. You get the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Honestly, that is a constant, maybe not constant, but at least a weekly application here for me. Love it. I would do it more, but I'm running out, so I'm trying to
conserve
the bottle.
Yep, love it.
The Crop Reviver Toner, that's good, every once a month type of thing. You get the Performance Boxer Briefs. I'm not a boxer guy, but I like wearing these to go to sleep in. And you get the travel bag, which is honestly outstanding. The travel bag is great. Your Lawnmower Performance Package 4.0 using Fanside code Fanside20 for 20% off and free shipping.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, when I was packing before, I literally used that bag to pack all my toiletries for the trip.
Yeah, same. That's my permanent toiletries bag now.
I love it. So yeah, definitely get in on it. We endorse wholeheartedly. So let's get into the episode today, Mitch. We're going to focus heavy on training camp and the two preseason games that we saw so far. And I think what we should do is go through positives, negatives, and just, you know, storylines, break it down, chop it up from, what has it been, about a week now that they've been there?
That's right. It's been about a week now. So, and I think by the time you're listening to this, there might be some cuts in order. And maybe not, but there will be cuts, I would imagine, by the weekend game. So that's the Saturday game in Bridgeport. P.S. Get your tickets. Go see the boys that play in Bridgeport. But there will be some cuts, and I don't think it's going to be anyone shocking, really. You know, if Aturatu gets cut, no one should be like, oh, what? I had no idea this was coming. No, it's coming, guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. But that doesn't mean we can't talk about some of the positives, so we'll start there. Let's start with the good. What's something that jumps out to you from training camp so far?
I want to save a little bit of the prospect stuff for a little bit later. It doesn't mean that we can't talk about it, but I'm going to divert that. And maybe if you want to, you can go into that. I want to talk about Ilya Sorokin, who only faced 11 shots or something like that. It wasn't a whole lot of work that he faced. But he made it look easy and routine out there against the Rangers, just tracking pucks like he had a GPS on it. It's just absolutely ridiculous stuff. Seeing things through traffic, the angles were right. He was dialed in and ready. And knowing that Semyon Varlamov is still hurt and probably will miss the start of the season, although it's still up in the air, this is fantastic news for the Islanders.
Yeah, exactly. Ilya Sorokin's going to have a little bit of an opportunity here. Obviously, we want Semyon Varlamov back and healthy as soon as possible, but the luxury of having someone as good, and I'm going to use the word backup with air quotes here, having a backup like Ilya Sorokin makes you feel pretty comfortable because, I mean, he was phenomenal last year for the Islanders in the playoffs, stepped up and was really big, and he looked every bit the part of, you know, what he signed that extension or, you know, that contract in the offseason. He got a nice chunk of change from Lou Lamoriello, what, $12 million in 3 years?
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, there's some expectations with that money. And I know it's one game and it's a preseason game, but it's just good to see that, you know, locked in, ready to go from day one. The one play that really stood out to me was there was a pretty good opportunity for the Rangers, I believe on a shorthanded chance, and he made a really nice reactionary save. And I was like, oh, Ilya's back. I love it.
Yeah, and like Kreider didn't give it his all, but I think it's because Sorokin had him covered. He just followed and tracked Kreider the whole way. And Kreider's like, well, I don't really care that much. It's the offseason, but like, or preseason, I should say. But Sorokin's like, yeah, this is, I don't care if it's preseason, buddy. I am stopping you no matter what, and I'm giving you nothing to look at. That was one hell of a play by him. Again, not anything crazy because Kreider kind of gave up on the play, I feel like. But he only gave up on the play because Sorokin just kind of took everything out of it. He took the wind out of his sails.
Right, exactly. It wasn't, he gave up because Sorokin gave him nothing to work with.
Exactly. And on that, like, and by that I mean the backup being Ilya Sorokin. Did you see the article from ESPN saying that the Islanders were the top-ranked tandem in the league?
I did, and I like the sound of that. It has a nice ring to it.
Does that actually surprise you at all?
Who else would you say that would have a shot?
Right? That's the question. And even then, you look at last year's stats, the best goaltending or save percentage in the league was the Islanders at like 920. This is the best one. So there's a lot of reaction going like, what, the Islanders? Oh, what? Yeah, absolutely. The numbers back it up. It's easy to back up. The Islanders have the best tandem in the league, and we're going to get to put that to the test now that Semyon Varlamov is going to miss a bit and Sorokin's going to have a little run out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is good for Sorokin here to show that, hey, I can handle a starting role if need be, because, you know, sooner rather than later, they're going to get into that transition. You know, Varlamov, as good as he is, he's not the long-term answer here at this point in his career. He's a good, you know, stopgap guy. Was phenomenal for the Islanders last year. Should have got more Vezina love than what he did, in my opinion. But it's just eventually this is Sorokin's team. So it's going to be awesome to see him, you know, get that opportunity to play on a regular basis to start.
Can't wait to see it. So far, he's running with it. I shouldn't say that. It's one game and not even one game. It's a half a game.
Half.
But looks really good. Obviously, grain of salt. It's one preseason game against, yes, half the team on the Rangers were, you know, not their regulars, but still, he looked really good doing so.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one that jumped out to me, and I'm going to use that first preseason game also, and it's one play on the Brock Nelson goal, but Josh Bailey and Brock Nelson picking up from where they left off last year is going to be huge for this team. Just the play, Panic was with them that night as the other winger. He carried the puck in, dished it over to Bailey, who just put a perfect feed for Nelson. It's like they've spent so much time together, they just know where the other one's going to be on the ice. That's what you start to get with, you know, Cizikas, Martin, and Clutterbuck, because they've been together for so long. But you're starting to see that now with, you know, the Nelson line, which is big because, Mitch, they're not technically the Islanders' top line even last year, but they were the Islanders' best line for the majority of last year after Anders Lee went down.
100%. They've been the Islanders' most consistent line since Barry Trotz showed up, right? That line of Anthony Beauvillier, Brock Nelson, and Josh Bailey have been relied on for a lot of things, and they've performed throughout. So to have them be clutch like this. And I'm going to go even through game two, even though Brock and Bailey didn't play, Anthony Beauvillier did and absolutely dominated the game. So you put those three together, you're going, all right, these three guys are where they were last year. They haven't lost a beat. And that's got to be music to all of our ears, because like you said, when that top line wasn't working because Anders Lee wasn't there and Leo Komarov was up there, these guys picked up the slack. And it's not that they're the top line, like you mentioned, they are the second line. But that's because they're playing a lot more defensive hockey than they are offensive hockey, and they still excel offensively. That's how good these guys are in this system and how necessary they are to what the Islanders do going forward. They need this line to be working, and so far, so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And just looking at the Islanders' trajectory for, you know, what they're trying to do this year, I feel like it's very obvious to see what everyone's role is going to be, and it seems like everyone is in a role that they should be able to handle, at least with the forward group. Maybe you want to say, like, left-hand defense might still be a question mark with, you know, Chara going to be asked to probably play second pair minutes, which I eventually want to talk about Chara and who he's been paired with, so we should put a pin in that. But just talking about... overall, where the Islanders are in terms of, you know, just having everyone like, this is your role, do this job and do it well. I feel like they're set up really well for that this year. And you know, the second line's a huge part of that.
100%. Like, that's, I think you hit the nail on the head there with everyone's got a role and they're being taught how to play it. And that's why you see such a small training camp compared to other teams. And why they didn't have a rookie camp. They saw the guys they wanted to see, and they're going to let guys like Russ and Ishikov, William Tsfoe, and so on and so forth, do their thing in their league. We don't need to take you away from whatever camp or regular season that's going on in your various leagues. We're not ready to get you in anyway, so it doesn't matter. But we will test out all these other guys. So it's nice to see, although not everyone at camp has had a run out. I haven't seen Colin Adams yet. But I know he's there.
That's true. That's a good point.
But what I'm really trying to get at here is exactly what you said. Everyone's got a role, and they're being trained to do that, and they're not wasting time by like, well, let's see if Colin Adams can take this spot. No, we know third line center is going to be Jean-Gabriel Pageot. We know third line left wing is Zach Parise. So now it's figuring out all the outside, the margins, and that's where you try and tinker and figure it out, and you've got time to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what the preseason's for, is those tinkerings. And it's for the fringe roster players to see, okay, of the fringe, who is going to make the cut as the, you know, seventh defenseman, 13th forward, all that kind of stuff. So you want to get to the Char and Dobson one a little bit? I think I'd like to get into that a little.
Do it. What do you got there?
I love the idea of that pair. I really do. And I was worried when they first made the signing. People still had Green and Dobson together, and I'm not going to lie, that was a little underwhelming to me. I think Chara's ceiling, even though he's older than Andy Green, who Andy Green's 38 and Chara's what, 44?
Yeah.
So, to me, Chara is the perfect, like, I'm going to put my arm around you and just show you the ropes kind of guy. He did it with Charlie McAvoy. He's done it numerous times throughout his, you know, long and successful career. And it's nothing against Green, but I just think it makes too much sense. And I'm so happy that throughout training camp, the two of them have seemed pretty much inseparable.
Right. Well, when it comes to the Green or Chara pairing or as a partner, it really made no sense to me to put Green back with Dobson. And again, it's like you said, it's no disrespect to Green. He's a perfectly good partner for Noah Dobson. We've seen it in the past. But he's been with Noah Dobson for, what, a year and a quarter, a year and a half, let's say. Sometimes you need a different voice. And at this point, you need a different voice. And again, it's not to say that Green hasn't been good. It's that he's taught him all he can. Right? After a year and a half, what else can I teach you, bud? I've been yelling at you to do this one thing for a year and a half. If you're not getting it, I'm either telling you too wrong or you're just not going to listen anyways. So just like coaching, sometimes you just need a different voice in the room. And then you bring in Zdeno Chara as that different voice. I don't know. Like, there's no reason not to pair him with him. There's no reason. Why would you not?
Exactly. And when you think of, like, okay, we were talking all along with the Islanders need a puck-moving left-handed defenseman for the second pair, and the assumption was that they would play with Scott Mayfield on that second pair, right? But now it could be Noah Dobson as the puck mover and Zdeno Chara as the more, you know, stay-at-home guy. And I'm okay with giving Noah Dobson a bigger role, and I know you feel that same way.
Absolutely, and the stats aren't necessarily there to back up the fact that Noah Dobson is a puck mover at the NHL level, but we're dealing with descriptive stats rather than predictive stats. So, and this isn't an anti-analytics thing. I'm very pro-analytics, but the data that is there doesn't say, like, this player is really good at moving the puck or could be really good at moving the puck if he's given the opportunity. It's more of, given the opportunity, this guy has been good with it. Noah Dobson has not yet been given the opportunity to do so. Like you say, this will be the year. We were looking for a left-handed puck mover, not knowing we got a right-handed puck mover instead.
Exactly. So that's just going to change a little bit. You know, last year it was Letty, and Letty's a good puck mover. He is going to be missed, and it's a big ask for Noah Dobson to step into that role. But I think he's ready. I mean, at this point, he had the training wheels on the first year a lot. They maybe did the thing where you ever see where, like, just one of the training wheels is on for the kid trying to learn how to ride the bike?
Never. Okay. That is a thing?
Yeah, apparently people do that. I didn't. That was not a me thing, but I've seen that. So, like, I feel like, you know, that's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, which is kind of where they were last year. And now I think they're ready to, you know, take the second training wheel off and just let go of the back of the seat and let the kid ride.
Yeah, he's not going to be Nick Leddy 2.0. There's no one else really out there. His skating is not as good as Nick Leddy's. But you don't need this guy to be the smoothest skater possible out there or the speediest skater either. You just need a guy who knows how to lug the puck going forward. He needs to know how to skate. He knows how to do that. He's not, you know, got cinder blocks for feet. So that's a bonus. He can skate. He can see the ice. He can find openings. That's what you need. And that's what he's got. Given the opportunity, I think Noah Dobson could be a really good puck mover. And then you got Zdeno Chara telling him, like, this is how you do it. This is when you – not how you do it, sorry. When you should go and when you shouldn't. And that's exactly what was missing for Noah Dobson's tool shed. Or tool shed? Toolbox. There we go.
And that's the thing, too. I feel more confident in Zdeno Chara picking up the pieces than I do Andy Green. Like, if Noah Dobson pinches in a bad spot – I am more confident in Zdeno Chara cleaning up the mess a little bit, where I think last year when there were those young rookie mistakes, I don't think Green was phenomenal at cleaning up the mess.
True. I will add this, and it's not me disagreeing. It's me just trying to add an extra little layer to that. The only problem I have with Zdeno Chara being the cleanup crew necessarily is that he's lost a few steps and even just lost a step from last year. So if Noah goes too far out, Chara's going to have to be able to recover, and I don't know if he's got the legs to do it necessarily. So Noah Dobson can't be that risky just yet, I don't think.
Okay, that's fair. I my counter to that would be the reach comparatively for Green and Char. But yes, in a perfect world, you have someone who moves a little bit better than either Chara or Green. But if I'm picking between those two, I'd rather be Chara, was the point.
Chara's reach is another two strides for Green or someone like you or I.
Right. Well, it's like 50 strides for us. Come on.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's right. I'm nowhere near as good as a skater as Andy Green is, that's for sure.
No, me either. No shot.
So that's good. And he's not only just teaching Noah Dobson, right? Like, from what I've been told, he had his arm around Mitchell Van de Sompel at the Tuesday scrimmage throughout the entire game. So that's huge. And I'm sure he's doing that to other players, probably speaking to Samuel Balduc, got a word or two for Robin Salo, other players, Parker Wotherspoon, I'm sure. Like, it's just a full-on defensive clinic going on with Zdeno Chara stepping into the locker room. And that's one of the benefits of adding veterans, is that they have something to teach to not only the guys currently there, but the guys coming up as well.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And, you know, that and somebody else who I don't want to just be the only one steering this, but with Zach Parise, I think he's someone who could do that for Oliver Wahlstrom. And the fact that Parise had himself a really good scrimmage the other day, I think is another promising sign.
Apparently he was dominant. And I'm saying that for someone who was there. he was absolutely dominant. He dominated that scrimmage against guys like Barzal, guys like Lee, although Lee's, you know, still not working, rehabbing, but, you know, taking it a little bit slower than usual. He was absolutely, he and Jean-Gabriel Peugeot ran the show. It was ridiculous. The sky's the limits for Zach Parise this year. And you're right, having someone like Oliver Wallstrom on his wing is going to be monumental to Oliver Wallstrom's development. And it might be the reason he doesn't have a sophomore slump.
Yeah, very well could. And, like, I see the side of wanting to put him up top with Barzal and Lee, like, because the potential is there for Oliver Wallstrom. I mean, he was on, what, a 22-goal pace last year, playing 12 minutes a night, like, some like no ice time whatsoever. But almost sheltering him a little bit and have him against weaker competition with two really, really good forwards in JG Pageau and Zach Parise could be huge for his development long term.
100%, right? Like, yes, again, like you say, and you're so right in saying this, that he's not going to play. People wanted him to play on the top line, and he's not going to necessarily get that opportunity right out of the gate. He might get a few laps with Barzal and Lee, but it's not going to be his set position, excuse me, when the lineup cards are written. You know, he being Barry might pencil him in here and there, but it's not going to be a default setting, and that's perfectly fine. He needs another year. Sophomore slumps are a thing. Why do we want to throw this guy to the wolves because he put up, on pace, 23 goals? I get it. We want a sniper. But like Barry Trotz says, this is a confidence game. Don't throw this guy out there on the top line and then, like, oh, hope you do well, buddy. No, let's bring him up slow. If there's anything they've shown you, is that if you bring kids up, not slow like a snail's pace, but at the proper rate, you get a proper return.
No, exactly. And you don't want to put him in over his head. And I'm not saying that he can't handle playing up top, but when it's between, you know, Palmieri, who's had the opportunity and, you know, done pretty well in his career, or you can say, all right, we have this kid with a sky high potential, but we can put him with Zach and JG and continue to develop his game. Like, it almost makes too much sense, right?
It's a no-brainer. It really is. And then let's throw him out with Barzal and Lee every now and again. Why not? Like, you have nothing to lose here.
And he's going to get power play time. It's not like he's not going to, you know, get it, you know, his opportunities there too.
Exactly. Really. I understand people wanting Oliver Wallstrom on the top line because you go, Matthew Barzal is a top and elite level playmaker. And you have maybe not top and elite level, but at least 30 goal potential sniper in Oliver Wallstrom. It just makes a total sense to put him together. And yes, you're right. But, like, let's wait a year. Let's wait a year. There's no reason to rush it right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're in lockstep there. So I wanted to bring him up in the conversation when we were talking about veterans, too. Is there anything else that sticks out to you maybe on the positive side before we get to negatives?
The last positive I want to bring up, and, of course, we haven't brought up any prospects. We're going to do that in the Down on the Farm section. Let's reserve that for there.
Sure.
The fourth line, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're missing Matt Martin. And they still didn't miss a beat. Maybe it's because they literally have Matt Martin 2.0 out there in Ross Johnston.
Yeah, I mean, that helps. It's almost a one-for-one swap. I think that that's slightly disrespectful to Matt Martin. I think Ross is kind of the poor man's version of him, which is fine. No, again, and that's not supposed to be disrespectful to Ross either. But if Ross is to get in the lineup, it's for exactly that, filling Matt Martin's shoes. Because we were complaining last year when both of them were in the lineup because they're, like, you know, the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other. So, you know, it's good to see that if anything were to happen with Matty and he did have to miss some time in the regular season, that Ross could step in and it would be okay.
Exactly. It really is a one-for-one, as close to a one-for-one swap as you can get. And Ross Johnston is doing very well with it. This is the role he's born to play. And he's doing well with it again. It just makes a ton of sense. And I'm glad he's getting a run out because I do like Ross Johnston as a player given the right role. I don't like him as a third liner. I do not. He's not a third liner. He's certainly not a top line player. But as a fourth line player, hell yeah. 100. Give me Ross Johnston all day, every day on the fourth line. I don't even care if he fights. He has the potential for fighting, and because he wins most of his fights, that he serves a purpose, even if he doesn't actually drop the gloves, because the threat is there, and that's good enough. he's just perfect for that role. Absolutely perfect. And if Matty misses some time, it's great that we could just kind of like, all right, well, we'll put Matt Martin 2.0. Oops, we don't miss a beat. Lols to the rest of the NHL.
I'm just smiling because, like, freaking Lou. Like, that's all you can say to that. It's just Lou, man. He knows. He's got his stuff.
Only Lou Lamoriello can be like, oh, no, I lost my fourth line winger. Welp, here's the replacement, the exact perfect replacement that I've just kept around for 3 years, you know, for this exact opportunity. Oh, no. Oh, well, it just continues going on with his business.
But that's how I feel like with a lot of guys on this team, or a lot of the roles in this team, because they have the depth for it. Even guys like Panic, if Clutterbuck or Parise go down, would you be upset if you have to insert, let's say, Panic for a handful of games to either play on the right side on the fourth line or play, you know, a couple of games on the third line? I think you could survive that.
Yeah, so far he looks fine, right? He looks okay in the system. He's disruptive. He's basically a faster Leo Komarov.
Yeah.
We'll take that for a lot cheaper as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think that stuff matters clearly. So Lou has done it, you know, done it again, building some depth. It's good.
Absolutely. So should we do the negatives now?
Yeah, let's get to the negatives, because it's not all sunshine and roses, but we are, I would say, for the most part, very optimistic from what we've seen so far. But there are a few things to, you know, talk about that haven't been going so hot. What's one that jumps out to you?
Kiefer Bellows. Kiefer Bellows, man. Like, he says he's better defensively, but he's still working on it. And I think that's going to be the case throughout his entire career, because that's just the kind of player he is. So, and Oliver Wallstrom, same deal. But he hasn't shown the ability to adapt to the system like Oliver Wallstrom has, and he's suffering for it severely.
Yeah, I almost feel bad in a way, because I like Bellows. Like, I like his game, but I agree. I don't know where the fit is right now for him. I don't, unless they have one of those injuries where they lose a piece on the top six and, you know, he's able to go in and serve a purpose like he did early on when Anders Lee went down. But I don't know. I almost have a hard time seeing him making this team. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I don't think he makes a team. And of course, we're only two games into the preseason, so maybe that changes when he gets, or if he gets more time. Like, how many more games do they have in the preseason? For some reason, I don't know that off the top of my head. I'll just bring up the calendar now. I think it's like another four games.
I was going to say four. I think it's six total, but I could be wrong.
That's what I've got in my head, so I'm just going to double check on the schedule now. One, two, yeah, they've got four more games. Two against Jersey, one against Philly, one against the Rangers.
The Rangers, okay.
And that's it for the preseason, and then we're into the regular season. Oh my God, I have to the 14th to get my office ready. It's literally 2 weeks plus a day. Oh my God. Anyways, no worrying about the panic right now. I'm not really sure what the plan is for Kiefer Bellows. Barry Trotz said last year that there is a place for him, for a long-term role for him. He's going to play a big role for this team going forward. But I don't see it, because he's not playing it.
No, unless they just maybe, I don't know, ride it out with Zach Parise on the third line for this year and then give it to Bellows next year. But I don't, for this year, I don't see how, where's he cracking this lineup?
That's just it. You signed Zach Parise and it's GG Kiefer Bellows. He's just not getting it in. Is he even in a contract year? I believe no. He's in a contract year technically, because he hasn't technically signed.
Yeah, we don't know what the. Well, I'm sure he's signed, but we don't know if it's a 1 or a 2 year, like what it is.
Yeah, exactly. We know he signed. It's probably just signed the qualifying offer type thing. But it's a very strange situation here. But I guess technically a contract year. He really, pardon me, needs to step up and show something. I didn't like his game in that first preseason game. He was not really committed, just kind of fighting it the entire way. Just really, really not what you want to see from a prospect who should be on the roster at worst fighting for a spot, and he's nowhere near that.
Exactly. It's been, you know, 5 years since he's been drafted, and if we were going to give, you know, Michael Dal Colle the, you know, the business for where he was in his development 5 years after he was drafted, then you got to do the same for Bellows. And I know Bellows wasn't a top five pick, but, you know, as a first rounder, you got to, I mean, at least be semi-close to, you know, making this team and having an impact.
Yeah, wasn't he 16th overall? So that's top half. Sorry, 19th. So I guess maybe not top half.
But still, yeah, I mean, there was expectations there. And especially after his huge junior year, when was that? 3 years ago now?
That was 3 years ago, right, where he played for the Portland Winterhawks and put up, like, was it 40 some
40 goals? I think it was 40 or 41.
41 goals in 56 games for 74 points for the Portland Winterhawks in 17-18, so 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long freaking time ago, man.
It's a long time ago. He did have that good year just 2 years ago in Bridgeport, right? 22 goals, 52 games. Remember, he got like scratched twice and then just couldn't stop scoring when he eventually got back. And then he eventually worked himself into the team, scored 3 points in 8 games. And you're going, here we go. The summer of Keefe, the year of Keefe has begun. And then it just never happened.
No, it never did, unfortunately. So that is definitely one that sticks out to me. Slightly worried, or like, if you were to go on the worried scale, where are you at? Are you like full cranked, worried about Bellows, or just a little worried?
What's my range? Do I have a number range to deal with here?
Yeah, I guess we'll go, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most worried.
8.
Wow. Okay, so you're very worried about Kiefer Bellows.
Right. Well, there's no place for him. So is he going to go back to Bridgeport? Does he got to go through waivers? Because he has to. They would lose him in waivers probably, which is maybe good for him, not good for the Islanders. But, like, there's no room for him. And not making the team would definitely be a shot to his confidence. And as we know, this is a confidence game. So, yeah. Where are you at on the 10 then?
Well, it depends on how I was – like, for this – are you talking, like, for this year or his development overall?
Whatever parameters you were giving me, I'm throwing them back to you.
Okay. I'm not at, like – I'm at, like, a 5. Like, a start at, okay. Like, a get into panic mode. I'm not full-blown panic, but I'm like, okay. Like, it's – the questions are starting to come for me.
The questions, yeah, I am worried AF for Kiefer Bellows.
All right. So well, another one that I would like to bring up is someone who was brought in on a PTO who maybe had a chance of making this team, and that's Gustafson, who I know he picked up a couple of assists, both secondary assists, one on a power play, but I don't know about you. He didn't really, like, jump off the page to me in his – appearance.
I wasn't really much of a fan either. Like, they're gonna give him a chance, right? That they gave him all the minutes in the world that night, mm-hmm. In game one. They're probably gonna do so again game three, but I wasn't a big fan. The points he put up, fine. He put up two secondary helpers, by the way, and even then they were credited to Alex Jeffries, so he didn't really even do anything. But I wasn't sold on his game. The Islanders want to see if he's got that 60-point potential. I don't see it, specifically in a Barry Trotz system. Even a 40-point potential, I don't see it. Of course, I'm going off of one game here, but I wasn't a fan of what I saw.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's uphill. It's an uphill battle for him, I think, to even make it as the seventh guy at this point, right?
Yeah, of course. I think that's the only role that's really open right now is the 7th D. Like, the reason Chara hasn't played yet is because not only is he 44 years old, but he's going to be on the team.
Yeah, no, of course. So, is there, I guess I'll ask you that before we go to another one. Is there someone who you think has to be the 7th defenseman?
Who has to be the 7th
defenseman? Or, like, based on what we've seen so far, is there someone who's, like, the front runner?
Oh, there's a prospect that I would like to have as the front runner, and I'll get to that obviously in the down on the farm section. But I think right now the front runner is Erik Gustafson, and even this prospect I don't think has dislodged him, even though I would like him to.
Okay. I think I'm leaning Sebastian Aho.
I didn't like his game the other day, but as it was pointed out to me, he was playing his offside. And that matters,
well, that matters,
right?
Yeah, it does.
He looked lost at times with Parker Werthespoon out there, a guy he's played with before. So that was strange to me. But the fact that he was playing on the right side and he's a left shot really kind of screws things up. So, you know, maybe you know, he needs another try. I'm playing on his actual position, which is on the left side of defense. But we'll see. I was not a fan of his game on that first game, and that was game two.
Is there anything else negative-wise that jumps out that you think we should hit on?
Otto Koivula, man. If I was at an 8 for Kiefer Bellows, I'm at a full 10 for Otto Koivula.
Wow. We're off the Otto Koivula bandwagon, it seems.
It really just seems that that first year in Bridgeport, I'm not going to say was the ceiling, but was maybe deceiving, right? Like, maybe he's a really good AHLer, but when it comes to the NHL, at least in the Islander system, he doesn't have it, man. It's not there.
Okay. I'm kind of bummed out about that because I thought, you know, based on his game and his size, like, I thought he'd be a really good bottom six player for this team. But, that was, what, 3 years ago now that he had that big year? So it's been a little bit.
It has. So he needs to go somewhere else. It's not like I don't want him around. It's that he needs to go somewhere that's going to maybe embrace his playing style that the Islanders have not been able to do.
Okay. So, I mean, again, something to keep an eye on there, but it stinks. I was a Koivula fan. I was rooting for him.
Yeah, it's nice to see that 1 year, right, where you put up, was it 46 points? I'm just trying to bring it up now here.
I think it was.
Where are we going? It was 46 points in 69 games for Otto Koivula. And, yeah, man, like, that year was great, but nothing really since then.
Yeah, it's been quiet. So, yeah, I agree with that one as a negative, unfortunately. So, but overall, I would say, you know, mostly positives for us. No.
Yes, it's mostly positives, and we haven't even got to some of the other positives out there that we're gonna try to get to now.
Yeah, let's get to the down on the farm. So, what we'll do now is talk about, you know, these prospects and, you know, the good, the bad, who's there, all other stuff. I'll let you take it away.
Robin Salo. Oh my God.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're all in on him from his play so far.
I've been all in for a while, but give him a spot. Give him a spot at the NHL right meow. And of course, they won't. And I get it because they want to roll Andy Green because he serves a purpose. He's a good 50-50 puck battler. I put 50 and puck together and it sounded like I swore. Zdeno Chara is Zdeno Chara. You're not going to say, like, sorry, Chara, we got this Robin Salo kid we want to look at. Thanks again. No. But, my God, what a player. They've got something with Robin Salo, and that has been obvious for a while now, but I'm glad that everyone is finally able to see what we've been talking about for a while now.
Yeah, I've liked his game, too. He got, what, 18 minutes last night or the other
night?
That's
right. So yeah, game two is 18 something and game one was 19 and a bit.
Yeah, and he's getting power play time. I think he skates with the puck well. He's not, you know, Nick Leddy level, but that, you know, that's
so close.
You think
he's
so?
So close.
Okay. So but the point that I was gonna make is that he's close, I think, in terms of, you know, where he is in his development.
At the very latest, he's an NHL player next year. He could be a Devontae situation where he just does really well at the AHL. An injury unfortunately happens. They call him up and he just never goes away.
Yeah. But like poor Thomas Hickey. He has not, you know, returned. Maybe, who knows? You know, pick one of the lefties that's, you know, not Adam Pellick, obviously, but either Chara or Green and have him come up. Like, I'm not, obviously not rooting for that, but if it happens, I'd feel okay with putting him in there.
Let's just say if it happens, they've got a guy that they can probably call, that they should, they might not, call up, that can fill a role and do something at the NHL level. Robin Salo is at the cusp of being ready. He's right there. He needs a little bit of seasoning because there's some decision-making where you're going, I wouldn't have done that, but you still managed to get out of it. Meanwhile, Barry Trotz lost one of the last few hairs on his head. But no, he's so close, man. He's so close.
Absolutely. He's jumped out to me, too. So who else?
Aturatu. Yeah. Aturatu. Oh, my God. There are 27 teams out there ripping, they're like firing scouts going, how did we not draft this kid?
Yeah, I was going to say, anytime I open the Bird app, all I see on Twitter is Atu Ratu.
Yeah, not Ratty, like they keep saying. I don't understand. Like, broadcasts apparently have done their research and done their looking into things. It's Ratu. There's no questions about it. He confirms it. Just put the name in Google and Finnish to English translation, and they both come out Ratu, Ratu. Like, it's Ratu, guys. Anyways, absolutely electric player. Electric. Responsible with the puck. At times, he could be a little bit too flashy, but we're talking about an 18-year-old kid here. 18-year-old. Already plays a North American game and strong as an ox.
Right. He did get in trouble. I don't remember which game it was, but he tried to go between his legs. Was that the second one against Philly?
Yeah, it was game two.
Yeah, and that bit him in the butt a little bit. But, like you said, he's 18. Make these mistakes now. He has no shot at making this roster. But, you know, make these mistakes now. Learn from Barry Trotz. Want to run down the list of just centers they have? Cizikis, Barzal, Nelson, Pajot, veterans, you know, Parise around. Like, I don't know. I love that he's here, and I don't know. I think the response has been good so far.
Yeah, he did do that one between the legs play trying to create some space, and it backfired horribly because they went back the other way and scored. But, like, I don't know. I think it was two, maybe three shifts later, he's going up the other end and makes Keith Yandel bite hard on a play. And Yandel goes the other way while Ratu's going the opposite direction with the puck. He basically did L2 left on the PS4, and it worked on Keith Yandel, who, yes, maybe not the greatest defender, but he's still a NHL defender. And he just made him look like he didn't exist, and then held off a 200-pound man, again, like he didn't exist, and eventually that led to a goal for the Islanders. Like, he didn't just learn when not to do things, and by being that, he didn't learn, like, I should never do this. It's, I need to learn when to use my puck skills, and my God, like, lesson learned two shifts later. That's incredible stuff. Wild.
You know,
52nd overall. Like, I can't get over it.
Yeah, I don't know how he fell that far, but looks like it's a gem for the Islanders. We were all really excited about that on draft day and around that time. But, you know, now getting to see him in action, it's really cool. So he's going to go back to, you know, Europe, I'd imagine. But how soon can he come over to the AHL?
It depends on Karpot. So he's going to go back to Finland for the year. He's going to go there for the season and play out. Karpot, I'm just looking it up now. I think they're doing pretty well. They're second in the league in terms of points. It's 7 games played, and they've got 15 points. They have 3 points for wins over there, by the way. Do they? I'm pretty sure they do. Either way, they're the second place team in the league. They're so far doing well. So what I'm trying to get to here is that not only will we have to wait till the end of the regular season, but we might have to wait till the end of the playoffs to even catch a glimpse of Atu Ratu in North America. But guaranteed, if the Bridgeport season is still going and Karpot season is done, he's coming. He's coming. Guaranteed.
That's a good sign. I like that.
He's signed to a contract. We don't have to worry about that negotiation. So, like, it's going to be come over right away. And he wants to be here. He definitely wants to be here.
So almost like Ilya Sorokin after his KHL season ended and he came over to burn that year?
Yeah, except he'll be able to play probably. Obviously, it depends on timing, and we don't know the timing of when these things are going to happen, but it could very well be that he might be in the AHL at the end of the year this year, depending. So far, Karpot is doing well, so maybe not, but if things fall well, he might.
Okay. Well, I love the sound of that. I would love to get him over to North America ASAP.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a few more prospects playing. We haven't seen, like I said, Colin Adams. We haven't seen Arnaud Durandeau just yet. I would expect maybe we see them in the next game. But I know cuts are coming, so we'll see about that. But the Islanders are clearly interested in Robin Salo. They love what they see from Atu Ratu. And that's exactly what you want to hear, because those are the two guys that I had going into camp that I was really looking forward to seeing what the Islanders would think of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And haven't, if you haven't seen enough of them yet, there's no way to really tell where they're at.
Exactly. There's two more things down on the farm. Obviously, the big news for the Islanders and prospects is Bodie Wild is bye-bye. ish. He's gone to the Hockey Allsvenskans League, so that's the second tier of Finnish hockey. Swedish hockey, to play with Västervik, who's a okay side, you know, top five side last year, made it to the semifinals of the Allsvenskans playoffs. He's going to play, I would assume, regular minutes. I'm still waiting to hear from the team in terms of where they plan on playing him, but he's only their third righty. They only had two before that, so I would imagine he plays regularly.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't like hearing that it's a second, you know, their second league over there, or their second tier, whatever you called it.
Yeah, they're the second tier. It is what it is. He wasn't going to... Think of it as NHL, AHL, and I don't like that comparison just because there's the ability to move up from the Allsvenskans to the SHL, but think of it that way. He's an AHL player, so it's kind of lateral if you want to look at it that way, even though it's not actually lateral. AHL is much better than the Hockey Allsvenskans. It's not even close, but he's at least going to a decent league, and I would expect that he does well there. He's going to have a ton of ice to play with, and yep. Someone who can skate like he can, look out, should be.
Yeah, so I hope he gets, you know, regular time because, it was supposed to be a big year for him. He the last 2 years, there's been injuries, and with COVID, he hasn't had a ton of playing time. So I just hope he gets his ice time, that's all.
That's right. And the last update here is on Russian Ishikov. I keep adding the K and I'm not supposed to. He's still not skating yet. So as you know, he's injured. He picked up a foot injury for Adler Mannheim. Is going to be out 4 weeks. He might start skating soon, but he's still rehabbing the injury, working out and all everything. He's doing well, but just still rehabbing that injury. So he's not going to be on the ice quite just yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, good to know. We'll keep tabs on that as it goes along.
So that was it for Down on the Farm.
Shall we get to the quiz?
Let's do it. So as you know, there's a quiz every week and you have a mystery New York Islander to guess. Matt, I really don't think you're going to guess this guy. I didn't have a player to pick, so I went randomly on the Wikipedia page and I just picked someone.
Oh boy.
And I had never heard of this guy's name before, ever. And I was surprised to find out the number of games that he had played for the Islanders. So if you don't get him, don't feel bad at
all. Okay, all right.
So, are you ready, Matt? You've got five clues that get progressively easier as we go.
Sure, let's do it.
Clue one, I have a bachelor's degree in economics.
Next.
Two, I scored my first career NHL goal against the Rangers.
Next.
Three, of my 71 career NHL points from the back end, 50 come with the Islanders.
So some of the 50 points he's played somewhere else, so I don't have anyone coming to mind yet. All right, let's keep it rolling.
Four, Alex Ovechkin slap shot broke my jaw. I was an Islander player when this happened.
Oh. I feel like I should know this.
I know, right? The same way. I feel the same way.
I don't know.
My name is Jack, and I'm probably on a hill in somewhere.
Jack Hillen?
Yes. Does that name ring a bell to you
at all? Not at all, no.
Me neither. I'm sorry, Jack Hillen, but I don't remember your 175 games with the Islanders through 2007 to 2011.
Wow.
I don't remember them at all whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Like, you played a decent chunk, man. 40 games in 08-09, 69 in 9-10, then 64 in 10-11. Like, I know those were some pretty bad Islanders teams, but yeah, that name does not ring a bell at all.
Right. And still playing like 20 minutes, 42 seconds in 9-10, 18:49 in 10-11. Like, those are substantial minutes. And it's just, nope, no registry of that whatsoever.
Wow.
On the slap shot thing, it wasn't the only time that Alex Ovechkin injured him. As a member of the Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin, they collided center ice and he dropped cold, running into the brick house known as Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, I mean, no harm in that with running into a guy like Ovechkin. That he's built like a brick house. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. So yeah, that Jack Hillen. Sorry, Jack. I do not remember you. My bad.
No. Yeah, that escaped me. You put that one on Islanders you've forgotten about in the last 20 years. So
yeah,
let's get to the social segment. Bounce around on what's going around on Isles Twitter. What do you got this week, Mitch?
First one comes from Lexi Panagatos. Just got flipped off by a Rangers fan because I'm wearing an Isles shirt. I missed hockey season.
We are all the way back. I love it. That's great.
What do you got?
My first one is from Nicole Revive. She says, a message to my Isles family. Keep your voices loud and proud. Thank you, Islanders. We will meet again. And then she shares like a little message. I'm not going to read her whole quote under that, but she will not be returning to the Islanders, which that bums me out. I thought she was a great anthem singer. I know she's, you know, moving on and looking to do different things, but man, those were some big moments, especially in the last playoff run with some of those anthems. So,
and I know some of the anthems is like, well, she let the fans sing, but like as a singer, you got to know the moment where you're like, okay, I am playing second fiddle to the crowd instead of just like trying to power through them type thing. As a performer, you need to know when you need to interact with the audience. And she clearly knew when to and when, you know, she needed to do her thing. It's going to suck not having her around, but I'm sure they'll find someone who can fill that void.
Absolutely. Just wanted to give her some love because she's did a really good job.
Absolutely. My second one here comes from Ashley at Hey Ash 89. I realized I didn't put Alexi's Twitter handle. It's Ella Panagatos there. But anyways, Ashley says, I'd regret it if I didn't get this made. And it's a picture of, it's a t-shirt with Butch Goring on it.
Oh.
But Butchie's got his, it's one of his Butch moments or whatever it was. Okay. And so he's got the Jofa bucket on, and then he's got a GoPro on top of that. And it's just ridiculous. It looks so ridiculous. And anyone who isn't an Islander fan would see Ashley wear this and go like, who, why would you get that shirt? But anyone else who's an Islanders fan would be like, yes, Butchie is the bomb.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I would wear that shirt in a second.
Right? It's just a picture of that. It's absolutely hilarious.
Love it. My last one is a quote from the Spit and Chicklets podcast. Robin Leonard went on this past week, and this quote made the rounds, but it's a good one to talk about. He said, the big one that jumps out, and they shared a full clip on their social media if you want to go see the whole clip of him saying this, but Long Island fans really saved my life, was the quote. And that just, I don't know, that really sunk in. That was awesome to hear.
Yeah, right. Well, I think he did say, and this is me just catching a few tweets about it, that there's only one place tattooed on his body, and it's not Buffalo, it's not Ottawa, it's not Vegas, it's not Chicago, it's Long Island. And that alone tells you how important Long Island was to Robin Leonard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it goes both ways. You know, he had a big impact on Islander fans too. So I said in the piece I wrote, he's by far my favorite Islander who only played 1 year with the team.
Oh, I think that's without question. I don't think anyone could say otherwise. Rob, well, what was it? I forget who tweeted out, so I'm really sorry that I don't remember. But Robin Leonard had a bigger cultural impact on the Islanders in 1 year than John Tavares had in 9.
Easily.
Right? Like, and without question. So that alone tells you how impactful his presence was on the island. And I know he said, like, I can't wait for the Long Island return. And he tweeted a picture of when the Long Island faithful welcome John Tavares back, and welcome is putting it nicely. It's going to be a welcoming when Robin Leonard comes back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a welcoming for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. It's going to be awesome. And I hope they do a little, you know, video tribute so we can give them a little extra time of appreciation, because it's deserved for sure.
It's absolutely well deserved for sure. My last one here comes from Everyday Isles, and it's not necessarily about what they tweeted, although it kind of is, saying everyone knows who they are because they do fantastic work. How many cups did the Isles win in a row? And it's a picture of RMR holding his four fingers up wearing a Matt Barzal jersey. And I bring this up because I had not heard or knew who RMR was. And when I saw the picture, I was going, cool, they're wearing an Islanders jersey. but they've got a ski mask on with a cross on it. And I was going, what kind of music? It's obviously it's a performing artist. What kind of music is this? And I was skeptical to look it up because I was going, oh, maybe I'm not going to like this. The ski mask is really throwing me. This is going to be some really hard stuff that I might not be down with. I loved it. It was fantastic. I loved every song I listened to. The first was like this weird kind of ballady thing. Fantastic. Absolutely loved everything that this guy produces. Love it. I became a fan because of the Islander jersey.
Yeah, I saw that. That was from GovBall, which is a big music event that happens in New York City. I think they did it at Citi Field this year. I saw another picture. I don't know if it's the same one where he was with Orville Peck. Was in the picture too. He's wearing was in the picture that was shared from who was it? Isles Daily, you said, or Everyday Isles?
Everyday Isles. The one I'm looking at is just RMR with the four fingers up. Okay. I did not. Is this the other one with like the long hair going across his face and the kind of a black mask on the person?
Yeah, that's Orville Peck. He's kind
I don't
of
know who that person is.
Yeah, he's like an indie crooner, almost country kind of guy too. I knew him. Like I listened to him a little bit, but when I saw the guy of RMR in the Matt Barzell jersey, originally the first one I saw was them two together. I'm like, oh, Orville Peck. I'm like, wait, that's a Matt Barzell jersey. I got to look at this guy. And I listened to a few songs. Pretty good. But that's funny with the one holding up the four. How many did the Islanders win? Four.
Yeah. Good job, every dial is by picking up that one there.
Love it. So let's get some plugs in before we go. Wherever you are listening to the show, please make sure to give a subscribe, a rating, a review. Really helps us out a lot. We appreciate the love and support from each and every one of you. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can download the Fansided app. Get us there. Visit the website, eyesonisles.com. And of course, check out the Patreon. Season's coming very soon. Get yourself post-game shows after every single game for $5 a month. You got a weekly mailbag show over the summer. You get a deep dive on topics twice a week. There's a Discord channel. There's a whole lot cooking over there, right, Mitch?
Yeah, I see the Discord channel popping off. You probably heard it during the show, a little bloop, bloop. I muted it halfway. Sorry, everyone in the Discord. The fishermen. They're talking about the fisherman jersey. I'm going to get into that when this is done.
There you go. That's going to do it for us on episode 215. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Matt O'Leary. Here is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.